Now, let me start by saying every four persons living in the world today, one of them is a Muslim. And the Muslim population doubles every 20 years. And the Muslims are growing very rapidly all over the world, including America, Europe, Canada, and Australia. So like Pastor David said, chances are you will meet a Muslim. And I love what he said. If you are prepared before you meet the Muslim, God will provide divine appointment to you. And let me tell you something. 90% of the ministry God gave me to accomplish, it's done by divine appointment. People think I know what I'm doing. I really don't know. Most of the time, you know. And when I think I know, God just changed the schedule. So I learn now to go with God and tell him, okay, God, what do you want to do next? Because he knows how I can catch fish. I don't know. Okay, so the first part is Muslims are growing very rapidly, and very few Christians or even pastors are prepared to answer their questions. Muslims have genuine questions about the triunity of God, about the divinity of Jesus, why he is our only Savior, is the Bible, is the Word of God or not, how come God will come, that does not make sense, God is transcendent, nobody can see God, and who do you believe Jesus is? Sometimes you say he is a prophet, sometimes you say he is a son of God, sometimes you say he is God, and you say God loves his son. How can God have a son if he doesn't have a wife? And you say God loves his son and watching him being murdered. You guys are nuts. Your faith does not make any sense. They are born and trained like that. They are given certain special logic and a very small part of the truth, but not the whole truth. Okay, so the second point is the gospel, the Christian faith, never been communicated effectively to most of the Muslim people in the world. And I mean in a way they can understand. You know, I'll give you an example. The way men get married in Egypt, my country, if a man saw a girl and he liked her, he will not ask her out, but he will talk to his family. His family will go visit her family with him, and the families will talk, and they will talk together in the presence of their families. And then they pray together, they think together, the both families. And then if everything is okay, then they can talk about engagement and then marriage. Now imagine if I came to America and I saw a beautiful American girl worshiping Jesus, and I go to her and tell her, my name is Sammy. I'm very happy to meet you. Please give me your parents' phone number. And she will look at me and say, my parents, why? There are my parents are coming. I want to take my parents to visit your family. Huh, what for? To be honest with you, you are beautiful. I like you. I've been watching you for a couple of weeks. I know I should not have said that. Okay. I don't know why that makes me weird. And you love Jesus, and maybe we can talk with our families, and maybe we can pray together. I don't know, but maybe we discover it's God's will. We get married. Married, this is so weird. No, I'm not weird. Don't say that. I don't know you. We need to go out. Oh, that's dangerous to me, because that's a place for Satan to enter, and the flesh can get over. Because I like her, and you know, and I don't want that, and we can't go out without commitment. Anyway, to me, this is the most honorable way to approach a girl. To her, this is the most uncool way that any man can approach her. I miscommunicated. And God, you know how God teaches us through our experiences in life and through our failures, God taught me a lesson. God told me, don't worry about getting married. I'll bring you somebody from Egypt. But I want you to learn, I want you to pray that I can help you use your mind to share Jesus effectively with people, especially with Muslims. Because you think you know how, you don't know how. You need to start thinking and praying, and I can help you. And I told God, okay, yeah, you are right. I can learn how to witness to Muslims. And that was the beginning from 1982, me thinking really hard and praying, God help me to answer their questions the best way possible, humanly possible. Okay, and it is not just being smart, and God wants us to be smart in serving Him. Remember, the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Many Christians use their mind to make money for their career, house, for their car, everything else, but they don't use their mind as they should in serving God. But make no mistake about it. God wants you to use your mind in the most way possible on how to serve Him better and how to serve His church better and how to be used to expand His kingdom. That's why He gave you a mind for. Not to think too much about eating and, you know, and decorating your house. Okay. Now, remember also what Jesus said in Matthew 13. When some seed fell on the lives of people that did not understand, remember that, the seeds that fell on the wayside, it was easy for the wicked one to snatch away the word of God that was sown in their lives. Why? They did not understand it. And those are the Muslim people. They don't understand the word of God. Why? Because this is not your fault. This is the fault of most of the Christian leaders in America. They did not prepare their people, their millions of followers, through radio and satellite TV to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. Okay, so you are fortunate, you are blessed to have Pastor Dave, because he said, no, this is important. I am not only going to think about filling my church with American people, but I want my church to be ready to be used in the most way possible. Okay? You are fortunate, because most of the pastors will say, no, thank you. This is not going to help my church. It's not going to serve me. Because most of the pastors are self-centered. They only think of what's going to serve them. And the Muslim ministry is not one of their goals. Not one of their agenda. No wonder the Christian leaders did not use the satellite TV and radio to equip their people to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. Okay, so now, what is the third point? You promised to look at me, Ashley, right? Thank you. Even if you don't like me. No. From the beginning, God made His plan pure and simple and clear. God chose Abraham, and God told Abraham, what? I will bless you, and through you. Now you are charismatic, huh? Talk to me. All. From the beginning, God's plan is the same as today. God chose you. God called you personally. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that lightly. God called you by your name and opened your eyes and your heart by His grace to receive Jesus and to receive His Spirit. And God blessed you. And we can talk about that for the whole day. God gave you a wonderful pastor, Pastor Dave. When my wife looked at his picture, she said, this is the church God wants us to be used at. We had many churches. My wife told me, no, this is the one. And God bless you with so many people that serving you here. You know, I wrote a whole list. Malaya and Anthony, Kaipo, Ashley, Rosalind, the worship leader. So many people I met came early, ready to serve enthusiastically. You are blessed. And you are blessed that God forgave all of your sins and gave you eternal life. Wow! Do you deserve eternal life with God? I certainly don't, but God gave it to us. And this is awesome, because life is short here. Maybe after 15 years, maybe half of us will be close to die, and the other half will be growing old, and they will be sick, and they will die soon also. This is the good news I came to share with you today. You will die soon. Life is short, shorter than you can expect. I was hit by a drunk driver head-on collision in January. I almost was dead. I was in the hospital for a month. People get cancer left and right. You know, life is very short, even if you lived to 60 or 70 years or 80. And the longer you live, the more you want to die. You know, it's not like you're going to do much when you are 75. But God gave you eternal life by His grace. Wow! Okay, so God blessed you because He loves you. Yes! And He is going to continue to bless you. If He gave you Jesus, He's going to give you everything that you need. Satan's trick is to make you worry about yourself. Don't worry about yourself. God got you covered. The Bible said He who has gave us His only Son, how can He will not give us with Him, along with Him, graciously, everything? Romans 8:32. Don't worry about yourself. Actually, God can take care of you more than you can take care of yourself. Me and my wife, we would never have dreamed to go to Hawaii. But we are here almost every year. God bless you because He loves you, but don't ever forget. In His eternal plans, He wants to use each one of us as a blessing to as many families as we let Him. Do you want to know one of the secret of the wonderful, exciting, meaningful life you can ever have? You want to know what is that secret? Yes or no? Yes. Talk to me. You are charismatic. Charismatic is different than other denomination. They just look like that. Right? Charismatic should have life, because you focus on the Holy Spirit and the worship. God's Spirit is dynamic. Okay. Where were I? Huh? One of the secrets. Thank you. One of the secrets that me and my wife experience, and we are so excited about it. The more you cooperate with God and tell Him, okay, I'm not going to worry about myself. I want you to bless me and use me as a blessing. Every week, use me as a blessing. Every day, use me as a blessing. And I trust you with my life. You know what's going to happen? God's going to bless you more. Why? Because this is His plan. He is looking for people to bless and use as a blessing. If you worry about yourself, okay. You are stuck with yourself. He's going to still bless you a little bit. Of course, He's going to take care of you. But you're going to miss out on huge blessings that God can bestow upon you and through you to other people. You're going to miss out. And your life is going to be boring. This is guarantee. Okay, now, why Muslims will, in Genesis 17, God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael. Now focus with me, because I want to go fast. So God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael, Genesis 17. And then Genesis 16, God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly. And then in verse 11, God himself named Hagar unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. And it's the same verse, God heard Hagar's affliction. And Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael. And God wants his church, whom he blessed, to hear the cry of Muslims. Muslims are crying now more than ever. Let me give you two evidence. In the past 40 years, tens of millions of Muslims attacked each other verbally and physically, killed each other. They still do. And the religious leaders failed to lead them to unity, love, and peace. And a huge number of Muslims found out that they are living in a leaky roof house. Islam is not working. It's not giving them peace with each other or peace with God. For some reasons, in the past 25 years, Muslims have been thinking about the truth. Because of the wars that happens in the Middle East and the killing, which involve Saudi Arabia and almost all the Muslim countries. And they have been thinking why Europe and America are doing better, and they been open to investigate the truth. Now more than ever. Now, they are crying because most of the Muslim people have a sincere desire to have the right relationship with God. They have a sincere desire to be forgiven by God and to make it to heaven. But they don't know how, because the Quran and their teachers do not tell them the truth about who God is love, and who Jesus is. He is their only savior, and he is God made manifest in the flesh. So they are lost. Most of the Muslim people are thirsty people drinking from salty water. They are crying. Most of the Muslim people are like Cornelius. You remember Cornelius in Acts 10? Cornelius was neither a Jew nor born again Christian. But in Acts 10, God described him as a man who believed in God. Actually, more, God said the alms of Cornelius were accepted. God, even though he was not a Jew, one of the chosen people, and he was not born again Christian, but God was looking at Cornelius' efforts to please the Creator. And he's looking at his heart and his spirit. And God was saying, I accept what you are doing for me. Peter, go tell Cornelius about Jesus. But before God can use Peter, God needed to help Peter overcome his prejudice against a God-fearing man from a different background. God-believing man. I forgot my handkerchief, so forgive me. That's why I wanted to take the picture before that. But you are charismatic. You know, charismatic people just are simple people. Your pastor is simple and humble and genuine, so I have no problem with you. Thank you. If I am preaching at Lutheran church, I will be worried, you know, because I have to keep my tie and all that. Or a traditional denomination. They have a different style. Okay, now, where were I? I am testing you, okay? Huh? What? Peter. Thank you so much. See, I like sharp people. American people are sharp. That's why they went to the moon. Sharp. Me and my wife always pray, God, bring us American people to help us in our ministry. Because they are sharp, they understand quickly, and they think they love God with all their mind. But Satan managed to stop the giant the church in America, the Christian leaders, from sharing Jesus effectively with Muslims. Satan is so clever, he would do anything to stop you from taking people from his kingdom, because he holds them captive. So Satan used our support to Israel, and he used wars between Muslims and Americans and Westerners. He used 9/11 terrorist attack and other terrorist attack, and he penetrated our hearts and our minds, and he managed to put negative feelings and thoughts toward the Muslims. Because he knows if he can rob us from the motivation of love, then we will not have the desire to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, because we view Muslims as enemies. So be careful. That's why God told us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. So the church leaders do not have that desire. But God is going to use maybe small churches. My wife always tells me that our ministry is like Gideon's ministry, and God's going to use whoever he chooses to use. Okay, now remember when Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst, what happened? Did God let them die when they ran out of water? No, God intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid. I hear the Ishmael crying. Lift up Ishmael by his hand. I will make him into a great nation. Wow! And God personally opened Hagar's eyes. She saw a well of water, and he saved their lives. This proves that Ishmael's birth was not just simply a mistake Abraham did, because if it were just a mistake, God could have let them die. But when God showed up, saved their life through a miracle, and said these gentle words to Hagar, God proved that he has a special love for Ishmael and the wonderful plan from his birth and from the birth of his children, namely Kedar and Nebaioth. Ishmael's first two sons, Kedar and Nebaioth. Names were recorded in the Holy Scripture with Ishmael. Remember these two names, Kedar and Nebaioth. Why? Because in Isaiah 21, God said the Arab people came from Kedar. Are you with me so far? Ishmael's first two sons, Kedar and Nebaioth, Arab people came from Kedar. We have a significant prophecy. Thank you, Ashley. Isaiah 60, all Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. Tantarata, tantan, tantan. This is extremely significant prophecy. Focus with me. Use your mind now. Why significant prophecy? Because the time God gave these words to prophet Isaiah and told him to say these words, actually, I done my research, Christian commentaries, Kedar and Nebaioth already had been dead 1,000 years ago. So clearly God was not referring to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth. Rather, he was referring to their descendants. Right? Anybody tell me why he was referring to their descendants, not to their person? Why? Why you said yes? You said yes. Why? Why? Why God was not referring to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth? I gave you the answer 1 minute ago. Huh? Thank you. They what? They already passed on? What's? They have been dead. Thank you. This is the smartest person here today. Thank you. I told you, use your mind. Think. If you don't think, you are not going to even benefit from the pastor's teaching. Because you need to open your heart, open your mind, absorb the word of God, so the word of God can take roots and you can benefit from it. so you can prepare the soil of your heart and your mind. You guys, the most important thing you can do is use your mind for the glory of God, to benefit from what God is doing and to serve God better. So, okay. So God was not referring to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth. Rather, he was referring to their children, their descendants. Why? Somebody tell me. Not you. Somebody tell me why. Why? Raise your voice. No, that's not the right answer. Somebody else, give it a try. When God said Kedar and Nebaioth will be accepted on my altar, he was not referring to the individual, the person of Kedar and Nebaioth, but he was referring to their children, to their descendants. Why? How do we know that? Thank you. Because they were already have been dead 1,000 years ago. I told you. Didn't I? We said it twice. Okay, now I'm going to ask you again. Why God was not referring to Kedar and Nebaioth? He was referring to their descendants. Thank you. Now we are talking. Thank you. Because they have been dead. That's mean. Arabs and Muslims will be gathered with their families. They will be saved in the day of the harvest. This is one of the major significant prophecy in the Old Testament that you never hear about in America. So we wrote in the ministry praise report, Jesus said, you have that one? Jesus said in John 10, can you read this one? I have other sheep, right? Two that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them. Look at the language. Also, they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. God wants his church in America to know that hundreds of millions of these sheep, perhaps, are the flocks and the rams of Kedar and Nebaioth. The most neglected people from the Christian leaders in America, the most unreached people group, are the Muslim people. They are the sheep and the rams that God will bring them to the sheepfold. Okay. Jeremiah 49. Iranian Muslims will come to Christ. I wrote a book many years ago to answer the questions the Muslims have about the Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable way to them. And about maybe 10 years ago, something like that, 9 years, 8 years, God brought our ministry $10,000. And I was praying, how can we invest this money? And God already said, I already told you, I want you to send this book to be translated to Farsi, Iranian language, print it, start making it available to Iranian Muslims. I did. And I started getting testimonies. Can you help me? Come, somebody help me. Can you come? Or you? Can you come? Can you come? Come. So I received an email. I want you to know what's happening. Come close. My father is Iranian and was raised in the Muslim religion. When I became a Christian 19 years ago, I bought him a Bible in Farsi. Over the years, he has had many questions, which my husband and I have done our best to answer. However, when I got hold of your book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, in Farsi, I was so excited to share it with him. About a month later, as he and I spoke, he couldn't stop telling me how much he loved the book. I am so thankful for your book because I know it has answered so many of his questions. You see what Muslims need? Giving him clarity. Muslims are confused. I am blessed to say he considers himself a Christian now. Thank you. Don't go too far. Thank you. Thank you. Just kidding now. Okay. You know what I mean? Are you with me? Okay, I'm giving you part of the big picture. In Isaiah 19:21, God said he will save Muslims in Egypt. About 75 million. So we can't reach them through the books. So right now, we are being prepared to reach them through satellite TV that goes into the homes of a few hundred million Muslims in the Middle East, including Egypt. Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people, your people, my people. Assyria, present-day Iraq, the work of my hand. Israel, my inheritance. And we know from Acts, so Arab people were evangelized in their own languages when Jesus' disciples spoke in their languages and tongues. They were evangelized. And we know from the Bible that people will come from all over and will be in heaven. And the Muslims are growing all over the world. And we got prophecies. God will save Muslims and Arabs. They will believe in Jesus. And we got reality. Jesus is appearing in visions and dreams to Muslims. Conclusion. God will save hundreds of millions of Muslims. The only question that remains to be answered is who God will use to tell them about Jesus. Can I get a couple more of these? Is God is going to use you and me, or he is going to use somebody else? Let me get it. I'll get it. Is God is going to use you and me, or he's going to use somebody else? Now, does God need you or need me to do anything? Yes or no? Yes. No. No, God does not need you or need me. God already started appearing to Muslims through visions and dreams in many parts of the world. God can use the Holy Spirit direct to convict the Muslims of their sin, Jesus' righteousness, and the day of judgment. God can send 100 million angels and one day preach Jesus to Muslims, and whoever is going to accept will be in heaven, and whoever is going to reject, too bad, and we are all out of here. God can get the job done. Easy. God can send the angels in human forms or not. Yes, don't worry, you can answer. It's okay to answer the wrong answers. Yes, he can send angels in human forms. Yes, 100 million angels, he can send them, boom, preach Jesus to everybody, and we are out of here. Why he doesn't do that? And let us go to the beach and have fun. And watch TV and eat. Two reasons why God want to use you and me. And God told me those reasons very clear long time ago. First, that will make our lives really interesting. Really. How interesting. Very interesting. When you are available for God to use you, God is going to fill you with his spirit. He is going to have you meet the right people. He is going to work in your life so you can know him better and grow as a Christian better. And he is going to open the right doors, and he is going to close the wrong doors, and he is going to provide you for everything you need, bless you, so you can serve him better. And your life is going to be far from normal or routine or boring. Your life will be exciting. When you work for Donald Trump, your life is going to be very exciting, right? How much more if you work for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who wants to establish his kingdom, but we don't believe it, do we? We don't believe it that this is the most important thing. But it's going to be the most exciting thing in your life. I have divine appointment almost every day. Last night, I had a divine appointment. in the hotel I'm staying at. Divine appointment. One time, the flights were canceled and I spent the whole day in the airport and I was praying, God, what you are up to? Why this is happening to me? I am suffering in the airport all day. I don't know even if I'm not going to make it to my destination or not. And God said, well, you should continue to trust him. I said, yes, I'm trusting you, God, but nothing happening yet. And then in the last 10 minutes in the airplane, I met a Muslim. I gave him a copy of my book. And he told me, I am from Al-Mutiri family. I told him, nice to meet you. And they said, you haven't heard about our family? I told him, no. And he said, our family is one of the most influential family in the Middle East. I told him, oh, then I know you're going to pay for the book. That was a joke. I want him to laugh. We don't take money from Muslims. We take only from Americans. So they won't think that we are after money. Well, it's about time that Americans pay. Do you know, by the way, I was not, maybe I should mention that to you. Even that makes some people uncomfortable. Do you know that the church leaders in America and pastors spend the billions, trillions of dollars every year on so many things? They spent it to maintain the church and make you happy and comfortable and feed you. They spent it where the church already exists and healthy. But they don't spend 1% of their budget or time. The statistics say they spend 99.7% of the resources that God gave them, including technical resources, not only money, but time and technical resources. See how smart Americans are using the computer and satellite and the internet and radio and all that. They spend it where the church already exists and healthy, America. And they spend 0.3% to expand the reach of the church, where the church does not exist. They only spend 0.3% on the unreached people group. And Muslims are the largest unreached people group in the world. Even in America, they don't understand the gospel because the pastors, when he speaks, Jesus, Son of God, he doesn't explain what that means and so forth. So make no mistake about it. God wants to change that. Because it is not fair that all the resources will be spent on you and very, very little will be spent on people that never got a good chance to understand the gospel. Okay, and by the way, pray for us because Pastor David is going to try to open a door for me by God's grace so God can use our ministry in the four square denominations to equip the believers so they can reach more Muslims. Okay, remember the Passion of Christ movie? A big rumor got out there, the movie is anti-Semitic. Because it shows that the Jews crucified Jesus. Now, you and I know the reason Jesus was crucified is to pay the penalty for our sins. So we don't have to pay it. But God used this rumor to make many of the Muslim leaders excited about the Passion of Christ movie. So when the movie was released, they bought the movie and they told their people, go watch what the bad Jews have done to the good prophet Jesus. And the millions of Muslims watched the movie. And remember, Muslims are emotional. And God used it to penetrate their heart, bring tears from their eyes. And that was the beginning of visions and dreams. Christians leaders is not going to get the job done. God's going to use Mel Gibson. God can use donkeys. You know that. God can use anybody. God can use Catholic. God can use anybody. Raise somebody, fill him with the Spirit, boom! Let me tell you something. It's a privilege that God is using us. Reason number two, God want to use you and me. Why? Because that will make us die happy with a smile. Because when you live your life being used by God, when you die, you will receive eternal rewards for everything you've done for God. Forever. Because eternal rewards is not by grace. You make it to heaven by grace through faith in Jesus alone and repentance of your sin. But rewards in heaven, according to what you have done for God's church, Jesus' church, what have you done for the church? What have you done to get the message of the gospel out? You spent all your life for yourself. You're going to die 15 more years. You're going to lose everything you lived for, you worked for. Your beautiful houses, the pictures, everything. But when you live for God and trust Him with your life, God will give you the best life you can ever have. And on top of that, you will be rewarded eternally for everything you've done for God. Every dollar you give for the kingdom of God, every time you used your time, your talent, the talent and the skills God gave you, like Ashley doing with the technicalities or whatever you're doing, like Anthony was doing, giving the church bulletin and anything you do, like those people that set everything, the worship, you're going to be rewarded for everything. What is the good news? The good news, Ashley, is God already started fulfilling the prophecies. We don't have time to waste. How do I know that? I know that from the emails I get that Muslims are coming to Christ even through our small ministry. Me and my wife have a very small ministry. Can he help me again? Thank you. God will reward you. Come and help me. Yeah, God will reward. That's okay. You don't know that yet, but he will. Okay. Or if somebody else want to come, you know, you okay? Okay, thank you. Okay, see, I want you to get a part of the big picture. I spoke in a big church in Florida, Calvary Chapel, Tallahassee, maybe 4 or 5 times. Before I went the last time, I got an email. My name is Malak. I am a Muslim. I have always been a Muslim. I met somebody. He gave her a copy of Glad News. Since I read this book, I fell in love with God. I am now happier than before. I saw and felt what I haven't seen nor felt before. God's love for me. God's love for me. Imagine we taking thousands of Bible studies. We have a lot of Christian books, Christian teaching from the radio, from TV. We speak about the same topic hundreds of times. And Muslims don't know God loves them. She read about God's love. And she can experience God's love through the Holy Spirit. And she can feel God's love. And she said, I am falling in love. I am falling in love with Jesus. Now, the only problem is now I feel I am in the middle of. That is, I cannot deny my Muslim roots. And I am falling in love with Jesus. I told her, this is not a big problem. Keep reading the book. Keep praying. The last email she sent to me, thanks for helping me experience and enjoy God's love and salvation. She became born again. We have another email, for example. I am glad to share with you wonderful news of your book, Impacting Lives in North Africa. He sent one Arabic Glad News to the MBB, Muslim Background Believers. This one book traveled the nation. Two Muslims accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Now they are requesting 500 books. The last email from Pastor David Witt, your book has made the Mauritanian news. Thank you so much. So the Mauritanian government notice that after people read glad news in Arabic, they start reading the Bible with open heart, and they become born again. So the Mauritanian government put the book in Arabic in the newspaper, and they put the Bible in Arabic in the newspaper, and warned the millions of people in North Africa and the Mauritania not to read these two books, giving me a free advertisement in North Africa. Thank you for laughing. You see what God is doing? You see how thirsty Muslims are? One book will travel the nation. Of course, he's exaggerating, but you get the point. Muslims are hungry. They want to get the truth. I can keep you the whole day or the whole week reading your testimonies. You can read them in my website. What does that mean? God already started fulfilling the prophecies. It's so exciting. My wife is born and raised as a Muslim. She was majoring in Islamic study, Arabic language, to become a Muslim teacher in Al-Azhar University, like Dallas Theological Seminary. She became born again. She started talking about Jesus. Before they threw her in prison, one of the PhD Muslim professors believed her story. He talked to Jesus. He became born again. In prison, she met three ex-Muslims. They wrote their names in the newspapers that they will stay in prison forever or die if they don't become Muslims again. They decided to keep their faith in God, and they started praying and singing Christian songs, and they helped some Muslim prisoners come to Christ. Why God is working, want to save Muslims? Why God want to save people? God want to save all people. Why? Because God is. There is no ulterior motives. God loves the people, and he wants to save them. And the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And Jesus said the second greatest commandment is exactly like the first one. Love your neighbor as you love. Now, do you have a non-Christian neighbor that you really want to share Jesus effectively with him, and you want to pray for him and give him a book to help him know Jesus and then invite that person to church? Is anybody know somebody like that? You? Because God told me, I guided you to write glad news, and many Muslims are coming to Christ. Why don't you write another book for any non-Christian person? And start giving that book to as many non-Christian people as possible. So do you know a non-Christian person that like to read about God's love, the book called The True Love? And then you manifest God's love to that person and then invite that person to church. Anybody? Any volunteer? You? Okay, one here. But if you took that book, you have to give it to a non-Christian person. You can't keep it. You can read it, but you can't keep it. Okay, come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. I have a few books I want to give as a gift. We just want to invest. But you have to give it to somebody who likes to read. Thank you. Good. Somebody who likes to read. Don't give it to somebody who doesn't like to read, or you will be wasting God's money. Okay, if you want more books, I have more books in the table. God want to save the bad people. God want to save even Muslims who believe in violence. Remember, the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. He was a terrorist, and God saved him. We don't have time for this. When you see a Muslim, first thing you do, tell him, Salam alaikum, right? And the first thing you do is a smile. Can you say that? Salam alaikum. Can you smile? Thank you. Can you smile? I don't know why Christians don't smile as they should. Maybe they live a boring life. You see? You can find out if you are living a boring life or not. If you are not excited about life, if you are not looking forward to wake up the next day, you are living a boring life. You tell me, oh, Sammy, you are a full-time in the ministry. Of course, you're living an exciting life. But I am working hard. Well, who do you think support our ministry? Who do you think in bringing all these Muslims to Christ? You think it's me? It's the people that are supporting the ministry financially. It is the people that are praying for the ministry. How the church support our ministry? People go to the pastor and tell him, we want to support this ministry. Here is $20 a month. Muslims are God-conscious people. Muslims don't know who God is, but they know that there is a God and there is a judgment day, like Cornelius. One time I was speaking at Mississippi State University, and I was invited by the chief engineer, and one of the engineers told me, I am a Muslim, I am not frightened from God. I told him, because you don't know the facts. Muhammad was frightened from God. He was afraid to go to hell. He said, Muhammad? I said, of course. What makes you so sure you're going to make it to heaven? If Muhammad did not know. He said, do you have the reference? Do you have the evidence? I said, sure. I used to work as a defense lawyer. I put all the evidence here. He said, I want to buy your book. I told him, no, it's my gift to you. Muslims arrive for the gospel. I can't keep you to read to you all the emails we get. They arrive for the gospel. God wants to equip you by faith. God wants you to be prepared to answer their questions. And the questions of non-Christians, not only Muslims. Otherwise, what are you going to do with your time if you are not going to be prepared? I'll tell you my story. Maybe that will encourage you to walk by faith. I used to work as a defense lawyer in my father's legal firm in Egypt. Most of my clients were criminals and drug dealers. All of them were guilty. I never met an innocent client. And I was helping drug dealers to get out of prison. And God told me, what are you doing? You are forgetting about us. I told them, this is my job. God said, no. Remember Moses, Hebrew 11. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And they preferred to leave Egypt and suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And God told him, you think you are smart? You are stupid. You are living your life to get criminals out of prison and to make money and to become famous. You think you are smart? To follow your father's footsteps and your grandfather? You are stupid. You're going to lose everything. Your grandfather is dead, lost everything. And God told me, Moses thought. God told me, think about it. Think. Moses thought, it is better to suffer for the cause of Christ. It's better than to enjoy the treasures of Egypt. Wow! Why? Because he was looking for the reward, the eternal reward. He was looking to please the one that created him and gave him everything. He was looking to please the heart of God. And God told him, leave Egypt. I came to America. I started working in a gas station, bus boy, dishwasher, waiter for 17 years. Graduated from UCI, studied for the California bar exam. Before I worked as a lawyer, God brought my wife and she said, listen, I was willing to sacrifice my life for my faith and love of Christ. Can't you sacrifice your legal career? I told her, but what else I can do? She said, God brought us together. Let's be prepared for the ministry. 1991. Nobody was talking about ministry to Muslims. I started praying. She said, you need to pray. Don't do the logical thing. Don't do the thing that will make you successful in the eyes of the world. But do the things that God wants you to do. I told her, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'm going to lose my legal career. She said, keep walking by faith. Pray. And I started praying, and God told me, your wife is right. I told God I would have appreciated if you told me that directly. You know, that happened a few times, speaking to me through my wife. And God told me, love, don't consider it a waste to use your mind for me. Use your mind. You are not going to waste your background. Collect the evidence and present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, attractive, acceptable way to Muslims. Write a book. Ashley, can we listen to my pastor testimony, please? Thank you. And I used to have an office at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, for 15 years, and many Muslims came, shook Pastor Chuck Smith's hand, and told him, thank you, we were Muslims, we became Christians. Raise the volume, Ashley, so they can listen from the first.
I have a coworker who I can consider somewhat of a friend, who is Muslim, and we talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible, and I would love to be more knowledgeable and try to help him, you know, because I'm concerned. But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I would love to know what to do, what kind of format to go through, whether giving him a book. I had given him a Bible.
That's a Chuck Smith.
You know, hopefully he still has.
He's
that
in heaven
his
now.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church, who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know.
That's me.
He's very, very versed in the Muslim religion. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. And many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. So I would suggest that if you want to give your friend something that would really help him, because it takes the Muslim beliefs and it sort of takes the Bible and sort of shows comparisons and so forth. And I would highly recommend that you give him this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
Thank you, Ashley. The last PowerPoint, the PowerPoint, please. Okay, so that was in the 1990s, before anybody was talking about Muslims, before 9/11. But look, some of the emails we got. I spoke in a small church, Calvary Chapel, Eugene. I got a letter from the secretary in the year 2000. As a direct result of your book, one of our team members was able to welcome two new believers in the kingdom of God. Thank you so much. Thank you. Year 2000. So when you fulfill God's calling, when you do what God wants you to do, even if it is not popular, it's going to produce eternal fruits. You know what I mean? Okay, so this is how God want to save people. God want to work through natural means many times. What is the natural means? Share Jesus with people. Share his word. Answer their questions. How can they call on Jesus without believing? And how can they believe without what? Without hearing. And of course, hearing and understanding. And how can they hear without you and me? And then the last, so this is something that God wants us to do. Don't be quiet. Don't go to the supermarket and buy food and go home. No. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart. God, do you want to use me today with somebody? Maybe you can invite somebody to church. Maybe you can invite somebody to a home Bible study, small group, church picnic. Before you go to heaven, you want to take as many people as possible with you. Why? Because this is your treasures in heaven. Everything else you're going to lose. Remember, 15 more years. Time is short. Forget about Jesus coming back. You are going there soon. And then the last verse. This is the last verse. What is the last verse? God gave his church pastors and teachers to equip you to do the works of the ministry. God brought me from Egypt to give you this. I lost my life to do this. God brought me to give you this. You remember David knocked Goliath down? But did he knock Goliath down just by saying, God, you knock him down? Or he got something in his hand? He got the best weapon in his hand. Smooth stones and a sling. God wants you to have the best weapon to fight with, the best sword. And God wants you to use it, to know how to use it and to use it before you die. Now, remember something. According to this verse, who is going to do the work of the ministry? Pastor David, Pastor Dave, and Tammy? Huh? No. Pastor Dave and Tammy has a job, one job. But the ones that are going to do the ministry is the church. Many people are depending on the pastor. Oh, the pastor got this covered. The pastor is going to do the ministry. And maybe his son, maybe his wife, maybe the people that close to him. Let me tell you something. So true. God can use any one of you in a significant way, even more than the pastor. I'll give you example. I'll give you example. I need to finish this because we are out of time. But let me give you example. I was invited to go to the Holy Land to evangelize Muslims and to spread the materials and to speak in Calvary Chapel Bible College and to another seminary. And all of a sudden, I got invitation to speak in the biggest seminary, Bethlehem Seminary, by the president and the lunch buffet. Me and my wife. So we were eating shish kebab and falafel. And the president told me, I told him, why did you invite me? I have a small ministry in America, you know. And he said, you might have a small ministry, but you donated 2,000 copies of your book in Arabic. And we gave them to Palestinian Muslims in the West Bank. And we helped 100 Muslim Palestinians to come to Christ. I told them, I gave you 2,000 copies. He said, yes, you did. A few years ago. I talked to Hala, my wife. I told her, I did not give him anything. We can't donate 2,000 copies. We don't have that kind of money. And I told him that, but not during lunch, after lunch. The lunch was so awesome to spoil. It was so beautiful. The shish kebab was something. Why spoil beautiful moments? I do that with my wife too. You know, I tell her the bad news or anything she gets angry at after I ask her to do something. It works every time. And I told him, after we ate, I told him, listen, we need to get something straight before you invite me to speak. I did not give you any books. He said, yes, you did. Who gave us the 2,000 copies? And then when I went back to America, I remembered an American man whom I never met called me on the phone and told me, can you give us the permission to print your book in the Holy Land? I told him, of course, we do that in Africa, in Europe, in Russia. I give permission to people to use the book. We just sell a few books in America so we can help our ministry. But of course, so he paid $5,000, I think, or four, I don't know. And they printed 2,000 copies, and he gave them to Bethlehem's Theological Seminary. He gave 2,000 to them. Now, I said, oh my God, who's going to get rewarded for these 100 Muslims that came to Christ? I tell God, at least give me 25%. I am living a poor life financially because I lost my legal career. A small condo and a small car. At least I get 25. And God said, don't worry. You're going to get your reward. But that man who worked hard and made money and sacrificed. You know why it's hard to donate? It's hard to donate money because you are losing your life. You are losing part of your life when you give money. So that God told me that money, that man is smart. He worked hard. He studied hard. He made money. He was not a lazy person watching TV. He knew how to make money. And God wants you to know how to make money. And God wants you to be rich. But don't spend all the money on yourself. Spend it. Invest it in God's kingdom. Invest it by giving your church, by giving to ministries that God is using to spread the gospel. Invest it. Think how you invest your money. And God told me he is going to get most of the reward because he labored in the Holy Land more than you. You see? Let's pray. Now, when you buy the book, make the check payable to Glad News for Muslims. And maybe one of you, I brought 48 books. Maybe one of you will get the even 30 books and give them to Pastor Dave. And Pastor Dave is going to the Four Square Conference in the end of the month. Maybe, or you can go with Pastor Dave and give the books to Four Square pastors. Are you with me? If you can buy 5 books, buy 5 books. If you can buy 10, buy 10. Keep one and give the others to Four Square pastors and pray that God will use us, use our small church here to be a blessing to the Four Square denomination, to mobilize the giant, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your grace and mercy and love. God, you loved us and rescued us and reached out to us when we were your enemies. God, you made us your children and you secured our eternal destiny with you forever. God, we are grateful. God, we still fall short. And we are still not perfect, and we still make many mistakes, and you still cover us with your grace and mercy, and you still forgive us, and you still bless our lives. God, today we pray that you will use us as a blessing to so many American families and so many Muslim families. God, guide us and use us. And give us your love for lost people. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.